Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We are back from a two-week hiatus. This is the Take the Points podcast. I am Tom Zalesnok. I am in Hartford, Connecticut, and I'm live via Skype with Dan Partridge from Phoenix, Arizona. Daniel, hello.
Hey, what's up, Z?
So, everyone, this is our bowl extravaganza. We do it every year. We're a little bit late this year.
We're not late. We are just fashionably late. We like to show up a few days before Christmas every year. This is how you really do it.
Close enough. I don't know if we've actually ever done it before the bowl games start. We always intend to.
Yeah, no.
But as we're recording, it is Monday night, December, what is it, the 22nd, I believe.
Sounds good.
Memphis just wrapped up a 55-48 win over BYU in double overtime, ending with punches thrown. We've also had a few other bowl games have been played. ULL, your favorite team, Dan. They beat Nevada 16-3. Utah State beat UTEP. Utah crushed Colorado State and their interim coach. Air Force beats Western Michigan. And Bowling Green beats South Alabama. And that's where we are today. So what we do is we're going to go through all of the remaining bowl games, give our picks, spend a little more time on the New Year's Six and the playoff games, and there will be no introductions or formalities because we have a lot to get through. Dan's vaping. I learned you can't call it smoking today.
It's vaping. It is not smoking. That will piss someone off. Say, oh, you are a vapist.
Is that, am I stereotyping or being prejudiced by calling it smoking?
Smoking is just you're not being informed. I mean, there's a reason people vape is to not smoke. There's no smoke. It's just water vapor that you're exhaling. There's no, you know, smoke. There's nothing getting, you know, touched on fire, basically.
Dan, how much did you used to smoke, like, per day? And then when did you start the e-cigarettes, and what are you down to now?
Well, I probably smoked a little bit over one pack a day, probably. And now I'm down to just a handful of cigarettes a day, maybe four or five normally. And I smoke this the rest of the day. So I'm close, but I really need to cut out all the cigarettes altogether and go only to vaping. But I love it. It's so fun, delicious.
And it's been what, a year? Not even a year?
About 1 year exactly.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big cut down. I mean, you're down 80%.
Oh yeah, easily, for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's what I tell people when they talk about e-cigarettes. I'm like, people just think of it as another thing smokers do, but it's a good aid in quitting, I think, if you want to quit. Or if you want to start, it's a good way to ramp up.
Absolutely, which, yes, I encourage everyone to go out and vape. And if that's not hard enough for you, move it up. It's you know, the same thing with, like, you know, okay, look, it goes vaping, cigarettes, weed, hard stuff. Now, you got to figure out where you are on that, you know, realm, find out what works good for you, and have some fun. And that's my advice.
Enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time in like all of our lives where, you know, it was like, oh, a cigarette was wild. And there's other times where we had to take it to a whole nother level. And now I'm a little bit older and I've fallen back towards, you know, the vape side. So it was a good ride, but now we're time to.
That's all life is. It's just a big bell curve. You just ramp up for a long time and then you just
go hard.
Slowly try to wind down toward death as slowly as possible. You want the flip side of that bell curve to just be drawn out and as long as possible.
Real slow is what I'm hoping for. But
so, Dan, speaking of illicit activities, do you have any overall bowl gambling tips, non-specific to any of these games? Just general tips?
Sure. First off, it's really hard. College bowls are a coin flip. A lot of it's motivation and personal stuff. And are they going to go pro and agents and, you know, coaches moving around and being interviewed for other jobs and getting fired and what kind of motivation's going on. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff, which I just talked about.
It's incredibly difficult. One thing I've learned the last few years of doing this is that when a coach leaves and a team is playing with an interim coach, I'm betting against them every time.
Usually, yes, but I mean, I've seen it happen kind of on the other side too, where coaches left and everyone's like, oh, we're going to play harder. It's very hard.
Depends on if they like that coach or if he's a dick, basically.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, and that's even hard to, you know, figure out for everybody. Motivation. Look what teams either played really well or really awful to the previous year and see what do you think they might do this year. Arizona State and Art Briles and company were two of the flops from last year.
So you think they'll a little teaser, rebound. You think they might turn it around?
Absolutely. Motivation for that. Players who will be going towards the NFL draft. This is kind of a weird year because there's not a lot of offensive like superstars going pro. So it's a lot more on the defensive side of the ball. So maybe be careful with some over-unders. I don't know how much that factors into it. So just basically be careful of motivation and where these games are being played. If it's a home game for one team, if it's a reasonable, you know, 8-hour drive for one team, that can make a big difference. You know, it's complicated, but just work through it slow is my advice. And
okay. I have one more to add to that, which is also related to the motivational thing. You have to look at teams who thought they would be better off, who thought they'd be, say, a New Year's Six team and didn't quite make the cut, or thought they should be a playoff team and are bumped down to a regular New Year's Six bowl.
Yeah.
A lot of times there's a letdown factor. And to me, we'll get to a bunch of these games later, but the most interesting one is going to be Auburn and Wisconsin playing together. Two teams that just have to be incredibly let down on where they finished and where they're playing. And not to mention Sammy Coates already having declared. So we'll get to that one later. But when one team seems great, but they're playing in a game they don't want to be in, for example, Alabama, they wanted to play for the national title last year. Instead, they get to play Oklahoma and they give a little bit of a lackluster effort, although Oklahoma fans will argue that point. But Alabama at least mailed it in the first half and then started to pick it up. But watch out for games like that. And with that in mind, without any further ado, now it's Monday night, Dan. It's going to take me a good 24 hours to turn this around, editing and posting. So let's just give picks for the Tuesday games. We don't really need to give analysis. I'm not sure whether we'll have this up in time, but we've got Marshall and Northern Illinois in the Boca Raton Bowl. And then we've got Navy versus the home team, San Diego State, in the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Right. I think these two are pretty easy, actually. I think you definitely take Northern Illinois, a team that always seems to do very well in bowl games, against a Marshall team who may have no motivation to play this game. They were hoping to go to a New Year's Six game, but lost to Western Kentucky. I like Northern Illinois in the points for sure. And you have to really like San Diego State playing at home in San Diego against Navy. Navy has not played well in the history of bowl games. These two teams have played twice in the same Poinsettia Bowl in the past maybe 7 or 8 years, with San Diego State winning them both. San Diego State opened a point favorite. It's Rose 2 points, so a 3-point favorite. If you got it early, congrats, because I really like that one a lot. So we'll find out. And I like San Diego State and Northern Illinois.
So for the first time in the history of this podcast, we both picked all of the games ahead of time.
Yes.
And I have printouts of my picks and your picks. So I know what we both picked.
We should probably do this more often. Like, it's probably,
but it takes a lot of effort, and we both did these for bowl pools anyway.
Yeah.
So it would require putting in effort for the purpose of the podcast, and I don't feel like either of us is really up to that task.
Yeah, I had a hard time getting out of bed today.
So we had the same picks on these two games. The Northern Illinois +9.5, which is what I saw it at earlier today, that is my lock of the bowl. Tournament, bowl, period, whatever you want to call it. That is a great, great bet. Northern Illinois is going to win this game straight up. Marshall is overrated. They played a bad schedule, and I wouldn't call it ending on a downslide. They did lose at the end, but I guess they sort of ended on a downslide compared to the rest of the season, at least. Northern Illinois, in the meantime, was skyrocketing to the top of the very good MAC, and they won the conference championship game against a good Bowling Green team. So they're a good team, and I love the over of 67 in that game as well. Okay. So I'm looking at Northern Illinois winning that game something like 47-44.
Very good.
San Diego State, I agree with you completely. Pick the home team. Although I'll say about Navy, there's a huge naval base in San Diego. So
true.
I think the Poinsettia Bowl does a really nice job of picking these teams.
Right.
Teams that people are going to care about locally. You live out west, Dan. What do you know about the San Diego County Credit Union? And how the hell are they able to sponsor a bowl game every year? Is that a chain or is it just one place?
It is a chain. There's a couple of them, I believe, that are like this, where they're like, you know, some sort of investment bank. It's California, bro. San Diego is real expensive. I mean, you had a very nice house where you got to, you know, high school, middle school. That house in San Diego, $1.6 million. You know, like, it's just out of control.
I always do the upstate New York to Connecticut ratio.
Oh, God.
The translation. I always think my parents' house, depending where you live in Connecticut, is like a $750,000 to $1 million house.
Absolutely.
But maybe that's a little much, depending on where you are. But in Fairfield County, for sure, it's ridiculous.
San Diego's a bit expensive, so the people who put their money into that bank, they got more money than I do.
Your money is all going to uniforms for San Diego State.
Yeah, right.
So enjoy that.
Yep.
All right, the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl.
Oh, which, if you've not seen the amazing video of Central Michigan accepting their invitation to that, you need to see it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, there's a video where they get the entire team in a room and say, we are going to one of these bowl games, and they put all five on the computer screen, and they slowly take one away at a time until it's down to this one, which is a fucking awesome vacation in the Bahamas on Christmas Eve, and the other one's like, I don't know, in like Memphis or something on the 29th, you know? And they do this whole countdown, and there's all these fireworks and lights. It goes like 3, 2, 1, the whole room goes dark, and then it pops up that they're going to this one. The whole team jumps up and goes crazy, like insane, high-fiving each other. And they're like, we're going to the Bahamas. And that's why you're going to want to take Central Michigan. I know Western Kentucky looks like the better team with the great offense. Number one, that video is amazing. Please go watch it. And two, Antonio Brown went to Central Michigan. He's my favorite player in the NFL. Go Central Michigan.
All right, I agree with you on one point, and I disagree with you on the other. Where we agree is that this, to me, this is the best bowl game in terms of a vacation.
Yeah.
Like if you're not in the New Year's Six, you're not in the playoff, this is the one you want to be in.
This is the best bowl game to go to.
If I were Auburn or some big name team, I would just be like, fuck the Outback Bowl. I want to play in the Popeyes Bahama Bowl.
It's so much better.
Plus you get Popeyes fried chicken at some point, I'm assuming.
It's good. It's delicious. It's great.
You eat chicken, you go to the Bahamas.
You get to go to the ocean and there's fish and there's like, you know, they get to go hang out there and go scuba diving or snorkeling or some shit. There's water slides. Come on, man. A lot better than going to play in fucking El Paso.
I agree. And speaking of smoking, not vaping, there may be some extracurricular activities after the bowl game.
Yeah. And before the bowl game, too, probably.
So I'm picking Western Kentucky because they're a better team and because Central Michigan looked bad against Syracuse, who sucks.
Yeah, whatever.
And that's my whole logic for that. As we mentioned, there's not a lot of logic for bowl games.
No.
You just go off a gut feeling.
Right.
So, fuck it. Right. Western Kentucky.
Right.
Hawaii. All right. So, the second best vacation of bowl games.
Yep.
The Sheridan Hawaii Bowl. Rice versus Fresno.
Hmm.
I pick Fresno because I don't know anything about Rice this year.
Hmm.
And I know that Fresno at least competed for the Mountain West, so I went with them. I have no logic to back that up, though. Do you have anything?
I have Rice for a couple reasons. They had a harder schedule, and they began the year kind of like very slow, maybe like 2-4, 2-5. But they've won their last like 6 games in a row and become bowl eligible. They got a nice offense. Fresno State kind of sucks. More importantly, this line opened at Fresno State -1.5. It's moved all the way to Rice -1.5.
Actually, it's at Rice 2.5 now.
See, look at that. So, I mean, that's a 4-point swing. That's a lot for a college game to move. I'm going with Rice and the money that's moving.
Yeah, the problem is even an avid college football fan like you or I, you can't pay attention to all 120-some teams. And no. Rice is a team I really never saw play. I really never heard much about them this year. I picked all of these games blindly based on what I thought, and then I went through and looked at the spreads. And this one was close enough where I just went with my original gut. So
sounds good.
I really only changed 1 or 2 picks based on the spread. There were a couple where I didn't know much, and I saw it was like a 10-point line, so I figured Vegas is probably smarter than me. So go with
it. That's right. Fuck yeah.
Okay, the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl.
Not good.
Illinois versus not Illinois, and the winner is not Illinois.
That's all you need to say, and they're a Louisiana team. So
yeah, it's Louisiana Tech, who's actually pretty decent. They're a 6-point favorite, which I think might be a little high, the line, but don't pick Illinois. As a Big Ten fan and supporter, they're not good.
Louisiana is going undefeated this college bowl season. Mark it down. I told everybody this. I told everyone that ULL was my absolute lock of the bowl season. No one listened to me. So go ahead and take La Tech again. They're all every year. Just do it.
Let me tell our listeners, I'm right now sitting at 6-1 for my bowl picks. Mm-hmm. And the one that I got wrong, ULL, which you told me to pick. And I did not listen, and that is what I get.
They have the same quarterback who's playing that bowl game, I swear, every time, and I think they've been this bowl 3 or 4 years in a row. It's a home game in New Orleans, and they win it every time. It's money in the bank.
Those Sun Belt players could just stay for 8 years. I don't think anyone would notice.
Hold on. Go ahead. Keep talking. I'm going to see if that quarterback is coming back again next year so we can go ahead and auto-bet our life savings on it.
Okay. I should start saying the dates of these games. So that game is a Friday, December 26th game, and these next two games are also the 26th. So we're post Christmas now.
Yeah.
This next game will be played at Detroit's Ford Field, the worst location you can be sent for a bowl game season.
Not good.
And that is the Quick Lane Bowl, which I don't know. Sounds like a bowling alley in Solvay, but I'm not sure about that.
Quick update. ULL's quarterback is indeed a senior and will move on. I believe that's 4-0 in that bowl game for his career.
Future Buffalo Bills starter. What's his name?
Who knows? Moving on.
All right. Still better than Kyle Orton.
All right. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Quick Lane, Dan. Do you know what that is? Is that a bowling alley?
Might be like a mobile or some sort of auto involved thing, maybe like a oil change.
I would like to hear your pick when we're done for the best bowl sponsor. I have my own theory. It's coming
Quick
up.
Lane Tire and Auto Center. See?
Okay.
I was all over that.
All right, well, just like a Hummer H2, we've got two large, slow teams, Rutgers versus North Carolina.
Yeah.
They're calling this the game that somebody has to technically win.
Yeah, two horrible. Dude, all these games on December 26th are horrible. I'm going with UNC. It's -2.5 just because I've seen them score a ton of points in a bunch of games, although they give up more than anyone else. I just think that they can outscore Rutgers by 3. That's my only feel. Don't like it. This game's going to suck. Probably won't watch a minute of it.
I'm also not intrigued very much by this game. I picked Rutgers because They've got a pretty good defense, and they've been motivated all year long. Ever since moving to the Big Ten, I like their attitude and their spirit, and they've played above their head all year. Whereas North Carolina, while they have more talent, has played below their level all year. So I'm going to take the feisty upstart over the slacking, talented team.
Fair enough.
But again, I don't care. Now, here is my favorite sponsor, the Bitcoin St. Petersburg Bowl.
That is the best sponsor ever. Ever. In the history of bowls, number one, right there.
It's unbelievable that Bitcoin is just sponsoring a game.
It's so good for so many different reasons. Like, people are like, what the hell is that? And they're like, that's the actual future of money, you asshole. And that's what we should be using for everything.
I would like to know if they actually, and how much they paid in Bitcoin to sponsor the game. Or if they had to just pay straight cash.
Well, one of those is worth about, like, let's see, last I saw...
It's like $400, roughly.
400, yeah, it's like 390, I was going to say. Yeah, so we can do some maths, but it's great. And as a, you know, a person who's into sports betting and a poker player, poker sites might start accepting those. So if they do, it's game on. Who the hell...
Yeah, that will be the game changer. If gambling sites accept Bitcoin... Well, then it's going to take off. Or porn sites, because gambling and porn actually predict the future of technology.
That's all you really need, Tom.
That's not a joke, actually, by the way, people. I know it sounds like it, but so much of what you see on the internet, the technology behind what you see, was started at porn websites. That's why when I'm caught looking at porn at work, I just tell them it's research.
Yes, kind of like when... Pete Townsend got stopped with child porn. He said it was for
research. Book. He's working on his next double album.
Sir, can you explain why you have child porn on your computer? It's research. Sounds good, Mr. Townsend. You have a good day.
Well, right. We don't believe you, but Who's Next is the greatest album of all time, so we're going to let that slide.
You wrote some hits.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and say research it is.
See, if it was like Herman's Hermits tried to use that excuse, they'd just be like, good. Nope.
No.
Get to jail.
No. There's a lot. He's very lucky that he's got many hits.
So NC State versus UCF. The line is UCF -2. I've got NC State for basically one reason that you're not going to like, and it's that UCF lost to UConn and thus cannot be trusted ever.
Love it. I agree. Moving on.
Okay. Saturday, December 27th, 1 p.m., the Military Bowl, sponsored by Northrop Grumman. They're one of those companies, I don't really know what they do, like Halliburton, but I know they're somehow Dick Cheney's involved. No, I'm not really sure what else they do.
Fair enough.
Va-Tech versus Cincy.
Yep.
Another Va-Tech's like Northrop Grumman. I don't really know what they do, but they're a name I've heard. I got Cincy. Va-Tech sucks.
I totally agree. Va-Tech, if they lose, will have a losing record for the first time, I think, in 22 years. Cincy, after a little bit of a rough start, has turned it around. If they win this game, I think they're going to win 10 or 11 games. They got some players who will be auditioning for the NFL on offense. So lay the 2.5. Va-Tech, I mean, first of all, if they lose to Ohio State, then they are not bowl eligible. So outside of that, they've been an awful team. So I like Cincy as well.
Do you think Frank Beamer should retire?
Yep.
I think he should. And I don't mean it because he sucks. I don't mean to imply that he's a bad coach. He's actually a great coach. You know, one of the better coaches that's ever come through college football. I just feel like his style of play doesn't translate anymore, and he should sort of go out now while he's still semi on top, or at least in the high middle. I just don't see it getting much better for him in the coming decade. I feel like if he goes out now, he goes out in his own terms and he'll go out as a legend of college football. Whereas if he hangs around another 5 years and they maybe go 6-6, 7-5, maybe have a couple of years where they don't even make a bowl, then it's going to be like Joe Paterno in his later years. Not his late years, but his pre-sex scandal years where people wanted him gone.
Yes.
So I would say go out on top if you're Frank Beamer, but of course, coaches never do that.
Nope, they don't know how.
Let's see, moving along. Oh, speaking of coaches, they're not in a bowl, but I want to give you a chance to talk about Michigan. Do you have anything you want to say? They're looking at Harbaugh, but it's going to be another week before they can really talk to him.
No, we'll talk about Michigan when we preview the national title and kind of see what Harbaugh says, and we'll take it from there.
All right. Hyundai Sun Bowl.
Yes.
Duke versus your home team, Arizona State. Now, Arizona State is better than Duke. I is the biggest Duke football supporter on the planet who didn't go to Duke. Will not pick them in this game. I'll be picking Arizona State. But do you think they can cover a 7-point line?
Yes, in theory. I like Arizona State for a whole bunch of reasons. One, Duke had a very, very good year again, and I think they got hosed. I don't think they have any motivation. Last year they played in a great bowl game against Manziel, blah, blah, blah. Arizona State last year laid an egg to Texas Tech, so they'll have plenty of motivation. Also, number one reason I love Arizona State in this game, well, I don't love them, I like Arizona State in this game, is because the game's in El Paso. People don't have a concept of where El Paso is on a map. El Paso is on the border of New Mexico and Texas. That is not a far car ride from Arizona State. It's only about maybe, I don't know.
We're talking like 8 hours, 6 hours?
Eight hours or even under that, like maybe six. So huge ASU contingent. It's literally hop on one road, and the one road takes you all the way to the stadium, which is off the road. So people are going to load up, and they're going to drive through New Mexico and go to this game. Home game for ASU. They laid an egg last year. Duke has no motivation. They're not playing Manziel. Like Arizona State to whip Duke big time.
I actually anticipate somewhat of a blowout in this game. Maybe a 20-point win.
Yeah, me too. ASU's really good. They just had a weird year with injuries. They'll have time to heal up, and they'll smash these guys heading into a big year next year.
I like Arizona State a lot. It's nothing against Duke. They just had I think it's a bad draw for Duke.
Next year, Arizona State's going to be really good. They're all back except for like a couple skill players.
Okay. Moving along, Saturday, December 22nd at 3:30 at Independence Stadium, the home of La Tech. The Duck Commander Independence Bowl.
Ooh.
Miami, Florida versus South Carolina. The line is Miami -3.5. Before we get into the game, what are the odds of a Duck Dynasty guy making an appearance at the Duck Commander Bowl? Is it 100% or is it like 99%? It's in Louisiana. 100%. I don't know anything about Duck Dynasty, but I assume they're from Louisiana.
They are, and it's 100. You're right.
Okay. So now that that's out of the way, I'm picking Miami to cover this just based on full season resume. I sort of stopped paying attention to South Carolina after the first half of the year, but I don't think they're good. They're probably lucky to even be in a bowl. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts? You do, because you picked South Carolina.
I do have some thoughts. I'll take the SEC team with SEC talent +3.5. Spurrier needs to win to avoid a losing season. I think he is a better coach than Al Golden. I think he's got more talented players. And I think in a game like this, you can kind of just say that they're equal teams heading into this. Everything else before this doesn't matter. It's a coin flip, so I'll take SEC +3.5 all day.
Now, Dan, something I didn't clarify before. Your spreadsheet you sent, are these your picks against the line or your picks straight up?
Line.
Okay. See, my bowl pool, we just pick straight up. That's which brilliant. Is still very difficult to do, surprisingly. Yeah. All right, so do you think Miami gets the win then? Or do you think South Carolina wins on the money line?
South Carolina wins outright.
Okay. Next, the big game. New Era Pinstripe Bowl from Yankee Stadium. Oh. It's a sad, sad day. Our listeners can't see this, but you can see it, Dan. I'm wearing the Penn State #2 Mike Archie /Derek Williams jersey.
Mike Archie is the correct answer, not Derek Williams.
Yes. So I am a supporter of the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Yep.
And I'm very, very disheartened to see them -3 or +3 against this particular Boston College team. Yeah. Any Boston College team without Matt Ryan or Doug Flutie, basically.
I hate Boston College more than anyone else. Penn State, I'm taking them next.
I'm taking Penn State. I don't. It's impossible for me to know how much of it is bias, but I think Penn State has a top 10 defense in all of college. I think they'll be able to shut down Boston College's rushing attack.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be an ugly, ugly, low-scoring game in the Bronx in very bad cold weather, possible snow. Take the under. I think there's a good chance this could be like a 13-10, 16-13 type of game.
I agree.
So I've been to a couple Pinstripe Bowls. I will not be attending this one.
Smart move.
Watching these two teams in the snow is not interesting to me.
No. Stay at home, watch it on TV along with, wow, there's a lot of bowls that day. There's 5 bowls on that day.
Yeah, that's a big day.
What day is that? Saturday?
Saturday the 27th, which is this coming Saturday.
Great. And then nothing Sunday, then Monday.
So, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We have one more game on that Saturday. That's the National Holiday Bowl. National is in the car company.
Yep.
Not as in a national holiday.
No.
Nebraska without Bo Pelini versus USC. I'll keep it short for my pick. I will never bet on a team that has an interim coach. Therefore, I'm taking USC.
I like USC. I think Sarkisian wants to end his first season as coach on a winning note. No Pelini, USC.
Nebraska has interim coach Barney Cotton, which sounds like if you were going to make up a fake coach for a Nebraska school, you would just call him Barney Cotton, and people would be like, that sounds like bullshit.
He sounds pretty racist, just based on that name.
I don't know anything about him, but I'm going to assume there's 75% chance of racism.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like black people.
But he is a football coach, so he's probably more like 0% racism.
It's pretty high.
All right. Football coach has to be like the least racist job you can have.
You would think.
There is always like a Donald Sterling type character out there for teams, but
there are other jobs that are more racist. It's not like, well, this guy works at a gas station. That's a more racist job, you think?
No, I'm saying it's like impossible to be a racist if you're a football coach.
I'm saying that, but what job do you think it's easier to be a racist at? That's my question then.
Chick-fil-A? I don't know.
Moving on to the next bowl pick.
Let's see. Where are we? Sorry, Chick-fil-A is going to cancel their sponsorship of this podcast now.
I wanted to go to Chick-fil-A today, but there was too big of a line, so I had to bail.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I can't help myself. That spicy chicken's too good.
Yep.
Almost as good as West Virginia, Texas A&M in the Liberty Bowl.
It's true. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Get some free spark plugs and play a football game.
I'll take A&M plus the points here. Same theory, SEC plus the points. This is very similar to the Miami game where both teams kind of had an okay regular season, some ups and downs and upsets, some games they blew, some games they scored 50, some games the offense stalls out. Throw out what happened before, take the SEC team and the points.
So this is a weird Monday 2 p.m. game. I think most people might be off. I have to work, so I'll be missing that. But it's in Memphis. It should be good, fair weather. I like West Virginia better as a team, but I'm feeling a barn burner in this game, and I think take the points, look for a 3-point win, high scoring.
Yeah, same here.
Take the over, perhaps. I don't have the over in front of me, but I will take it.
Mid-60s. I think it's about 65.
All right, the Russell Athletic Bowl. Now, the Russell Athletic Bowl is formerly the Champ Sports Bowl, the Mazda Bowl, the Florida Tourism Bowl, the Micron PC Bowl, the CarQuest Bowl, or as I still refer to it, the Blockbuster Bowl.
Oh, I love the Blockbuster Bowl.
Yeah, Penn State played in several of these back in the 90s.
Many.
So I know it well. This year, it's Clemson -3.5 versus Oklahoma. I'm not really sure what the situation is with Oklahoma, who's playing at quarterback, or what's happening. I pick Clemson because of that uncertainty. I hate this pick. I don't like either of these teams. I think I would take the points in this.
Yeah. This is a hard one. It actually opened up at Oklahoma minus 6 or 6.5. It's plummeted down to Oklahoma minus 3.5. I probably like Oklahoma at 3.5, probably like Clemson at 6.5. Just stay away. This is a super hard game. Just avoid it. Move on.
This will be an interesting one to watch, though. Vic Beasley, I think he's going to come out with a big game, make a strong climb up the ladder. I don't know where he's projected, but
it's a hell of a name. I love Vic Beasley.
For a D lineman, it's a good name. I think we're going to see him as one of those guys they talk about in the draft whose stock keeps rising and rising. Although I don't know where he is now. He might already be very high.
Very possible.
I was hearing that Jameis Winston is going to be a top 10 pick. Very surprising.
NFL is a quarterback league.
Well, we can discuss Mr. Winston later.
Yes.
The Advocare 100 Texas Bowl. Texas versus Arkansas. I picked Arkansas despite the clear home field advantage for Texas in this one.
I'm going to take Charlie Strong in the points. Last year, he had time to prepare for Miami and killed him. He was Louisville's coach. I know Texas is in transition, but I feel like he can end his first season on a nice note here. I'm going to take him plus the touchdown for sure.
Okay, I'm with you. I saw it at 6.5 last I checked. I'll take Texas with the points, but I do think Arkansas squeaks out a 2-point win.
Right.
Bielema's got that program on the rise, Dan.
I know.
They're going to be good. Watch out for next year.
A couple years, yeah.
Do you think a bowl game has any bearing on teams going into next year? Or do you think it just is sort of an anomaly and then everything resets?
I think everything resets. Okay. People think there's momentum, but I don't really think it carries over.
No, I think Oklahoma would be playing in the playoff if that were the case.
Yeah, Oklahoma. Case in point, nothing else needs to be said. Well done, Z.
Okay. A couple more before we get to the New Year's Bowl. We're to Tuesday, December 30th for these last three games. The Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. LSU minus 7.5 against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead?
I think that's a lot of points for that LSU offense to be laying in actuality. I know Notre Dame's really fallen off, but that's a really hard game. That game and the Oklahoma-Clemson game are the hardest too. These are my two stay-away games for the whole bowl season. Avoid them.
I don't like laying 7.5 with LSU. I think that's too much based on what they've done. I think I would take the points with Notre Dame if I were betting.
Yeah.
I lean toward LSU for the win, however. I'm looking at a 3-point game. I'm actually looking at a 3-point game in most of these bowl games. That seems to be how it goes. Think about last year. How many blowouts were there? There were only a few.
Only a couple.
I mean, Arizona State got blown out, but besides that, I can't recall too many others.
No, you're right.
So with that kind of a line, I'd always lean toward the points. Speaking of which, Louisville is plus 6.5 against Georgia. Georgia's a team to me that falls into the motivation or non-motivation category. They're probably better than Louisville, but what are they really playing for in this game, in the Belk Bowl?
Nothing whatsoever, and Louisville is a tough team, as they've shown all year, and I like them to keep that game close, if not win, so take the touchdown with Louisville.
I totally agree, and in my pick'em pool, I actually picked Louisville straight up.
Little upset. Look at this.
Yeah. So we will see. All right, one of the more clear-cut ones, in my opinion, the Foster Farms Bowl. Never heard of Foster Farms, but then again, I never heard of Belk. So we've got Stanford minus 14 over Maryland. And although that line is pretty crazy for a bowl game, I think Stanford's clearly the better team here.
Me too. However, even though on my bowl sheet I have Stanford, I don't like it. It seems every year there's one team favored by a ton of points, and they never seem to cover. Even going back to Kaepernick and Nevada against SMU, that's a lot of points for a bowl game. Stanford doesn't exactly have a flashy offense either, so careful that one. Be very careful.
I'm not advising anybody to lay the 14. Not at all. I just think if you're picking a winner, I think definitely the smart money's on Stanford. Maryland, they're not good. I mean, I watch the Big Ten every week. Maryland's not ready for prime time. So there it is, the Foster Farms Bowl, formerly the Fight Hunger Bowl, the Emerald Bowl. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's this. The Foster Farms Bowl is the old Emerald Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how some of these things change. Like the, well, we'll get to it in a second, but it's like the Buffalo Wild Wings just switches their sponsorship to different bowls. So like the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl is not the old Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
No, the old Wild Wings Bowl is the Cactus Bowl.
Yeah. Except they're sponsored by someone else this year. It's very confusing.
They're sponsored by one cactus.
Ah, cactus.
The cactus.
So we're on to New Year's Day, Dan. How we're going to do it, we're going to do the minor bowls, the non-New Year's Six first, even though we're going a little bit out of order chronologically.
New Year's Eve bowls?
We've got a few non-New Year's Six, New Year's Day bowls. For example, the Outback Bowl happening noon on New Year's Day, although not a New Year's Six bowl. So we'll do these quote-unquote lesser bowls first, and then we'll save all the big ones for the end.
Yes, sir.
But this is a big one in name and in fan base. It's Wisconsin versus Auburn. Auburn's a 6.5-point favorite. This is one of those ones that I think is deceiving because you saw in their last performance, Auburn had a really strong game against Alabama and looked like a top 10 team, even though they lost. Whereas Wisconsin looked like absolute trash against Ohio State in a 59-0 blowout. You have to reset somewhat. I don't think you can ever totally wash that loss out of your mind from Wisconsin. That was a really, really poor performance. Ohio State played well, but Wisconsin also played like garbage.
Understatement, yes.
And Auburn. Auburn played well all year. They did lose four games. They seem to be the much better team, but you've got Sammy Coates declaring for the NFL. Nick Marshall, it's his last game. Will he mail it in or will he come out strong? Duke Williams, who knows what's going to happen with him. And then some of those defenders, I think, will be gone as well. So
yep.
I'm a little torn. I mean, I have to pick Auburn. I picked Auburn for the win in my pick 'em pool. I don't think I could possibly bet on Wisconsin after the way they perform. But I do think there's potential that they could sneak up on you. Dan is shaking his head no, though. You're the number one Auburn fan.
I am. I don't give a fuck.
Non-Auburn fans, you're the number one Auburn fan.
I'm the number one Auburn fan for no reason, the upstate New York one. Wisconsin lost 59-0 to Ohio State. Yeah, they'll come out at first and put up a better effort, but Auburn will wear them down. Nick Marshall's last game, they got wide receivers going to the NFL. They're going to put on a show. This is the Outback Bowl. It's down south. Wisconsin's going to be way too slow. I know people are criticizing, how many points they gave up to Alabama, and they just brought in Will Muschamp to be the defensive coordinator, which I called on Take the Points.
Not actually participating in this game, is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that. That changes nothing in my mind, but
whatever. Auburn rolls them by 35 points. Lay it.
Will Muschamp's a good defensive coordinator. I think that's a great move.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't know why he struggled to adapt as a head coach. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, I forgot to mention. Auburn gave up all those points to Alabama, to other really good offenses. This is Wisconsin. Joe Stave and company. Auburn's defense will look a lot better against Wisconsin offense than the Alabama offense. So they can keep Wisconsin, to a semi-low scoring 17-24. Their offense will score all day.
If I'm hearing you correct, what you're saying is Wisconsin can't touch this.
Oh, do.
Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl.
Oh.
Minnesota versus Missouri. SEC versus Big Ten.
This game is the only piece of shit on like a 2-day span, and it shouldn't be watched. Stay away from it. Except, well, go ahead, Zeke.
Well, here's the thing about this game. Although it's a New Year's game per se, it starts at 1 o'clock, so the Wisconsin Auburn Outback Bowl will be well underway. You'll also have the you'll have Baylor in the Cotton Bowl happening around the same time.
Oh yeah.
So people will be watching one of those two games.
I won't watch it.
And then most people, I think, will be saving themselves for later on for the semifinal game. So this is going to be one of the lowest watched New Year's games of all time, I think.
It's a horrible game. I like Minnesota because they've been known to keep it close all year. Missouri has no motivation to be in this game. I'll take a random Big Ten team against an SEC team on a flyer. I will say that no one can be more excited for the early slate on January 1st than me, where I get Auburn and my boy Art Briles, 10:30 a.m. Mountain Time, New Year's Day. I get to wake up and start watching that crap. I'm going to be a total mess by the time Alabama-Ohio State's over. It's going to be great. I'm so excited. I don't give a shit about Christmas. All I care about is January 1st. That's all I care about.
You heard it here first, folks. Fuck Christmas.
Don't care.
New Year's Day is the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I have Missouri in my pool, but I'm starting to really regret that. And I would definitely take Minnesota with the points. So I'm going to say on this podcast, I'm switching my pick to Minnesota straight up.
Yeah, there you go.
And definitely Minnesota with the points.
There you go.
I can't go back and actually change it in my pick'em pool. And if that's the game that screws me and I come in second, then I'm going to feel bad. All right. Here's another one. This is a weird one. This is an anomaly because this is two interim coaches.
Yes, it is.
So then to me, everything resets. And therefore, I will take Pitt -3 against Houston in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl.
Oh, Lockheed Martin. Way to be.
Mahoney will be the referee in this game.
What a lovely company they are. What a great, great bunch of guys.
Lockheed?
Not good. Anyway, moving on.
You probably have some Lockheed people flying through the Phoenix airport.
No, Lockheed Martin people do a lot of military construction for planes and warplanes and stuff like that. What are we talking about? Pitt? Yeah. Houston's no good this year. Pitt might actually be okay. Pitt lost like 4 games by like 5 points or less or something. Some kind of weird stat like that. I'll take Pitt January 2nd because why not?
There was a while where I thought Pitt was the best team in the ACC Coastal. This was early in the year before Georgia Tech came on strong. Turns out they're only like the 3rd or 4th best team in the ACC Coastal, which is not nearly the same.
Right.
But Houston's horrible. They're not good at all. Go with Pitt. Houston, they're one of those teams. We talked about Chad Morris going to SMU on our last podcast, which is a while ago. But Tom Herman, is that his name from Ohio State?
Yeah.
I think it's Tom Herman. So he's a Texas guy as well. And he's taking over Houston. And he knows, well, do you want to describe Texas football and why Chad Morris will be successful and why I think Tom Herman will be successful?
Because he's a former high school coach. If you're a former high school coach, then you're in with the other coaches. They can give you more recruits. Easy formula.
So we've got Houston and SMU, two teams in Texas, recruiting Texas guys now with new offensive coordinators from big programs, guys looking to make a splash and possibly take these teams to the next level so they themselves can get a huge head coaching job.
Yes.
You know that Chad Morris and Tom Herman's eventual goal is to, go on and coach Oklahoma, a big-time SEC school, a Florida-type school, whatever.
Miami after Al Golden gets canned.
Right. So that's what they're eyeballing down the road. to do that, they're going to have to take these teams and recruit well and play well at Houston and SMU. And so what I see happening is both of those teams drastically improving over the next 3 years. And as we've mentioned before, the Big 12 at some point is going to have to expand. And I think two Texas teams that are on the rise, I think those are going to be prime candidates for Big 12 expansion. So congrats, Houston, on your head coach hire. You're going to lose this game to the lowly Pitt, but I think this is going to eventually boost your program into the Big 12. Congrats.
Very nice.
Iowa versus Tennessee, the Tax Slayer Bowl. This is my favorite name of a bowl.
Me too. Of a
company that sponsors a bowl. Because they don't just do your taxes, Dan. They will fucking murder them.
They will kill your taxes every time. How you can do it at home on TurboTax. Takes 10 minutes. It's the same number. You can go see them. It'll cost you $200 in 5 hours of your time. And you're going to get back 37 cents more. But
Tax Slayer, I think you just go in and you give them their information. And then they log on to TurboTax after you leave. And just fill it out for you.
They're like, okay. We have coffees over there. Donuts. Why don't you go take a break? And you go over there real quick. And they're like, boom, 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 boom. Looks like we need some more paperwork. And the guy's sitting there like, whatever. Anyway, it's a joke. Going to get your taxes done, people's a joke. If I don't know. I don't make enough money where I'm like,
oh, I think it depends. When I was single, taxes are easy. When you get married, they become exponentially more difficult. When you buy a house, they become a lot more difficult. And I think if you owned a business, if you're Mr. George Villali, our good buddy, then I think it becomes... So at some point, it becomes so difficult that it's easier to just pass it off to some guy in a suit.
Nerd.
Yeah, find some nerd and let him figure it out. No. Anyway, I do not mean the unkind words for the Tax Slayer Bowl. I appreciate their enthusiasm about stabbing my taxes through the heart with a sword.
I know. Anyway, I'm going to go with the SEC team, Tennessee. I don't like the 3.5, but I really don't care. Iowa blows. So does Tennessee, but I'll go with Butch Davis and SEC.
Yep, I agree 100%. And this game will be played at the home of the Jaguars. And I predict that you will see a Jaguar-esque game. A lot of turnovers, a lot of penalties. Ugly, low scoring. Do not watch.
Smart.
All right, the Valero Alamo Bowl. That's a tough one to get out. This is one of the better non-allegedly big games. Good matchup. Kansas State and UCLA. It was a one-point line in favor of UCLA last time I checked. I like Kansas State in the mini upset.
Alamo Bowl always rules. We need to go to one eventually because it's always good. It's always a high-scoring game.
These are two borderline top 10 teams.
Yeah, very, very underrated bowl every year. Like, it's very sneaky. And Valero is a very popular chain out here that I visit many times to get, you know, snacks and gas. It's like the food bag of Arizona and the West Coast.
It's like they come and go.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. I like UCLA, and I've lost with UCLA just about every time I've bet them, so if they lose, so be it. I know Bill Snyder's a better coach. I know Kansas State's played a harder schedule, but I know Kansas State has choked in a couple hard games this year, and I think this game's all about Hundley putting on a show for the NFL draft, and it'll be the day after New Year's Day, so people will look for an encore. And if you look at the slate of other games, who else is going to put on a show outside of Hundley in those four games? Nobody. So I'm going with the Hundley factor, UCLA, trying to win my first game with them. I have to wait to 2015 to do it.
Nah, I won't do it. To me, UCLA is like a girlfriend you've broken up with three times already, and you're like, oh, this time will be different.
I always think that.
But it never works. So, no, I got Kansas State, Snyder, Snydog.
Well, that's your best friend, so congratulations.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, all right.
Moving along. Oh, here's your home, your hometown bowl, Dan, the Ticket City, Ticket City Cactus Bowl, because buying online tickets is like grabbing a cactus. Now, I don't know. Cactuses. What do you think about them?
They're everywhere. They're very nice. I think they look cool. They don't piss you off. You don't have to go out there in October and November and, like, you know, rake leaves. They're very good against animals and rodents. They run into them. They get injured. It's great. I like cactuses. This is a shady bowl game because of the Fiesta Bowl, which we'll talk about later. Chris Peterson comes to Arizona State to play. Meanwhile, his former team also comes to Arizona to play in Boise State. There's some shady nonsense going on with that. I think Peterson, like those other first-year coaches, want to end on a tough – or would like to end on a positive note. Oklahoma State, I believe, played their quote-unquote Super Bowl or whatever last week or last game against Oklahoma and won. They have no motivation to come here. It will be nice out. It will be a little chilly for us, about 68 degrees. But I like Washington to cover the spread and win by a fair amount.
I am with you on Washington winning. I've got them. The 5.5-point spread worries me a little bit. I think Oklahoma State always puts up points. I don't think Washington's that great. I do think Peterson, with a month to practice, will have them ready to play. So I've got Washington. I'd like to see that line come down a little bit, but my fear is that it's actually going to go in the opposite direction. And you're going to see about Washington, yes, by 7 at game time. So this is the former Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl and the Insight.com Bowl. You realize this was the Insight.com Bowl in like 96 or 97?
Yes.
Only like 8 people had internet back then?
Pretty badass. And dude, you need to come out here one of these years for the Cactus Bowl, because it's so close to where I live and you can get tickets cheap. No one's going to be there. No one. It's no 0% chance it sells out. Like, you can go up there and get tickets for like almost $0 and walk in.
That's definitely how the Pinstripe Bowl was when I went. We actually just scalped tickets at the door.
No one's showing up from fucking Kansas State and UCLA. Like, there'll be some people because can't, you know, whatever, but no problem. You can just walk right in.
All right. Let's get a couple more. Let's get through these quickly.
Which, hold on, also, in theory, could be really good in years to come because it's a Pac-12 team versus a Big 12 team. See, there's a lot of possible cool matchups we could get some years.
Yeah, this is actually one of the worst possible matchups they could have got. I know.
Seriously, it blows, but it could have been, like, really good.
The thing about these bowls, though, they do a pretty nice job of matching up even teams. So even though on paper this is not a game you would watch on a normal Saturday, I think, you know, it's on at night. It's 10:15 Eastern time on Friday, January 2nd, so there's no competition on TV. These games always end up being shootouts and being close. So this is why bowl season is awesome. It doesn't matter who's playing. The games are always great. They're always close. Teams get up by 20 points, and the other team makes a comeback win. I mean, the percentage of bowl games that are thrilling versus the percentage that are boring or blowouts, it's like 80 to 20 recent years. Yes. So I love college football bowl season.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on par with the NCAA tournament. Maybe
it's way better.
Maybe better. I don't know. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest thing ever, those first 4 days. But overall, you get, what, 3 great weeks of college football bowl games? I'll take that.
I used to really love the NCAA tournament. Not so much anymore, but that's a whole nother chat for
why us. Not? Your UConn team's won it 2 out of like 5 years.
They've won 4 in 15 years, not that I'm counting. and I'm a spoiled fan, but like the damn 35-second shot clock just makes me insane. Like, I've been watching more and more NBA and less college. And once you start watching NBA and then you go back and watch the 35-second shot clock, it'll make you like insane. It's like, oh, they get the offensive rebound. Oh, my God, they have 70 seconds to have a ball hit the rim. You know how long that is?
Yeah, I dislike that, and I dislike the – they've got to change it somehow so you can't just keep fouling at the end of the game. My wife always jokes, you know, how much time's left in this Syracuse game? I'll say 3 minutes, and she'll be like, 3 minutes real time or basketball time? I'll be like, basketball time, and she'll go, all right, see you in an hour.
Yep, see you later.
So I don't know what they do, but they've got to find a way to speed up the clock at the end of games where it's not just inbound pass, foul, two shots.
I agree.
Get it together, basketball.
Screw basketball. We're college football. Moving on.
Yes. The Birmingham Bowl. No sponsor, except maybe the city of Birmingham. Formerly the Papa John's Bowl, Dan.
Ooh, Papa John's.
Florida versus East Carolina. I've got Florida just because they're SEC.
Yeah.
Now, they've got a coaching situation, which I don't like. But I just find it hard to pick a AAC team over an SEC team, even if it is Muschamp-less Florida.
I don't think the Florida players like Muschamp. I think they'll play harder without him. I think East Carolina, the wheels came off for them midway through the year. They are overrated junk. Lay it with Florida, SEC, SmackDown. This is one of the rare games, I believe, where you can get motivation going into next year.
The GoDaddy Bowl, one of my personal favorites. They always stick it on a random night. In this case, Sunday, January 4th at 9 p.m., Toledo versus Arkansas State. These are two fun, exciting teams. I've got Toledo. Lay the 3.5.
This is a very interesting bowl game for many reasons. This one flies under the radar. First of all, there is more action on this game than most all other games. And you would think, why? Is it because it's the last bowl game? And it's not even the final bowl game this year. Time placement. You're like, that's a weird time. Sunday, January 4th. That's after four straight NFL playoff games. And on Sunday, they do a playoff game at 12:30 East Coast, 4 o'clock East Coast. And they put this thing on at like 8:30 East Coast time. And all the degenerates have it. And it gets a lot of money. So that's one shady aspect that most people don't think about. Two, like ULL, Arkansas State plays in this same game every year. They always cover. With Malzahn, without, they won last year when they were an underdog. They won the year before with Malzahn. They're playing in it again. They're going to win in it again. Take Arkansas State. And also, thirdly, I have a personal problem with this bowl game. It's the GoDaddy Bowl. GoDaddy is literally 3 miles right down the road if I just turn and point. The headquarters. So it should be here. They need to talk to the people up there at the Cactus Bowl and get this straightened out. It's the GoDaddy Cactus Bowl from now on. It makes no sense. It's right there, and then right next to them is Yelp. That's a whole nother story.
All right, I was holding my breath there when you said I have a problem with this bowl because GoDaddy hosts the TakeThePoints.net website, and I was waiting for their algorithm to figure out you were talking shit about them and immediately crash our site.
I like them.
I like GoDaddy too. They're a good host. I've been using them for like 10 years now. Something crazy like that. Like 10 years. I host all my myriad websites there. I buy all my domains there. I like them. They're good. They check in when something's going to expire if I totally blank on it. Some guy, and it's not automated either, just some dude from Phoenix is like, hey, Steve from GoDaddy.
What's up, bro?
TakeThePoints.net is going to expire. You want to like renew that shit or what? And then I say, yeah, Steve, let's do it.
He's high as a kite. He doesn't care. They all walk. These people walk around with like jeans and flip-flops on.
Good.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, they're nice. Every customer service should be high.
Yeah, these people out here West Coast, you should see them working in these corporate offices. It's so funny. They come out of work and you think like, you know, business slacks, East Coast button-down shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They come out here with like t-shirts on, shorts. These people all make more money than I do. It's so good. I love it.
What you're saying is I should move out there immediately.
You would. It's crazy, man. You got to see it once. You'll laugh your ass off.
My friend Jolene moved from New York City working in fashion to Atlanta, still working in fashion with department stores. But she said she was just blown away by the slow pace of work down there. Yeah. She's like, asking someone to turn something around, and they were like, all right, I think I can have that like by next Thursday. She's like, what? I need it 2 hours from now.
No, no one cares. Like, it takes forever to get anything done. Like, if I have like an IT project, I mean, not that it needs to be like this, I'll be like, yeah, it's going to be about 2 weeks, but I could get it done in one day in theory. But like, no one cares because it's the West Coast. They're like, oh yeah, scheduling's hard. Take your time.
And yet everything seems to function just fine out there. It's not like it's the West Coast is falling apart.
No, it's great. Everyone's just chill and relaxed and so nice. It's great.
But I mean, I understand New York City is sort of the center of the universe, so to speak, and they do things that no other city does. But people have that same attitude up here in Hartford, Connecticut, working in like insurance and stuff. And I'm always like, take a look at Phoenix, take a look at San Diego or Atlanta or Charleston, South Carolina. Like, they don't give a shit and their cities are great.
Right. Exactly, dude. I absolutely love it out here. Anyone who wants to change where they live, look at Phoenix. I highly recommend it. New Year's 6.
All right. Next New Year's, pick a bowl game, Cactus Bowl. A Fiesta Cactus back-to-back days?
Well, no. Next year, the Fiesta Bowl is the national title. So wait two years. Yeah, but that's going to be like a 10-day gap.
Oh, right. That's in like February 28th now.
No, it's like January 12th. But like the year after, you get Fiesta and Cactus like 2 or 3 days apart.
Okay. Mark it down. 2017.
Be really fun.
All right, Dan. Let's take a break and reset, and then we'll be back with the New Year 6 and the playoff.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Take the point. You ready to get into some New Year 6 bowls?
Am I? Let's go.
All right. Well, let's start with December 31st at 12:30 p.m., from the Georgia Dome, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Hmm.
Ole Miss versus TCU. Now, Dan, before we start with this game, maybe we haven't actually done a podcast in 2.5 weeks, so we never actually discussed the whole playoff selection and thoughts and stuff. I know it's kind of old news at this point, but maybe give the listeners your quick thoughts on the Final Four and TCU and Baylor getting screwed or not screwed.
Obviously, you know, the NCAA wanted Ohio State in there, so they didn't have to answer to either TCU or Baylor. They punished the Big 12 for not having a champion. Ohio State has a big, you know, following, money, dollar sign.
It's all about money, right? Same, I mean, that was my initial impression. Yeah. Not that they wanted to screw Baylor or TCU, but...
It's money. It's all money-based. It's real stupid, and like, you know, each of these teams, in theory, could beat Oregon on like any given day, you know, or maybe even Alabama. So clearly we need to go to 8 teams, not 16, just 8.
That 8 teams though, won't that diminish the regular season?
No, I don't think so. 8 is still, you still have to lose, you know, 0-1 or maybe 2 games. There will be years. Oh, Tom, can you hold on 1 second? Nope, they could be terrorists. Tell them to get lost.
I'd have a hard time getting it up for caroling when it's like 60 degrees and no snow.
Not if you live out here. You're absolutely freezing. You're like, oh, you got a jacket on.
He's wearing a windbreaker. It must be freezing. There's all kinds of
Christmas lights up everywhere, dude. It looks the same just without the snow. There's big trees. It's the same thing. Just not unbearable.
All right, so if you notice the stop in the audio, there were some Christmas carolers had come to Dan's door.
Yeah, they did.
So he shoot him away with a shotgun.
Oh, this is America, get lost.
You get the fuck off my lawn.
Yeah, and then I smacked one of the women.
But for that part is getting edited out for sure. Okay. In this current climate, Dan, we can't have that kind of rhetoric. Al Sharpton's going to come down on your ass hard.
I just tell all the listeners the truth.
So Dan asked the carolers if they knew any White Stripes songs, and they said no. He said, get the fuck out of here.
That's correct. I said, you can get lost.
Dan, what's the best Christmas song, in your opinion?
Easy. Easy answer. That is by The Kinks, and a song called Father Christmas. Father Christmas, give us your money. Bow, 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 bow. Like that's a horrible impression, but...
Yeah, no. I'm not that familiar, but...
Just after you're done, go on YouTube, Father Christmas by The Kinks, number one Christmas song of all time.
Okay, what is your favorite, like, traditional Christmas song? Not by cool bands, but, you know, like...
Hurrup-a-pub-pum, Me and My Drum, Little Drummer Boy, for sure.
Okay. I am partial to Feliz Navidad. I don't know if it's the Spanish part, but where I don't really know what they're saying half the time, but that song rocks. Like, if that song just had different lyrics, I think it would just be a good classic rock song.
Fair enough. If you come out for the Cactus Bowl, you'll hear it.
I also like Andy Williams singing Most Wonderful Time of the Year, just because he used to eat dog food.
Huh, fair enough.
Yeah. Google it. Actually, if you Google Andy Williams dog food, you'll get an article that I wrote like 8 years ago.
Even better. So everyone should really get on Google.
Yeah, Google Andy Williams dog food. You'll see.
The website, it's G-O-O.
You don't know how to spell Google, do you?
I'm messing around. My SAT verbal was a little lower than I thought it would be. That's all I'm saying.
You vaped yourself stupid, Dan.
I did that. Years ago.
You need to put some ginseng in the vape.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could do that. Healthy vape.
That's coming next. Vitamin vape.
Vitamin vape. Vitamin V.
Every puff you get 1% of your USDA allotted vitamin C, vitamin B, all that shit. Just
yeah, some calcium. I think we're onto something here, Dan.
Genius.
All right. I have no idea where we were. Oh, yes. You were saying how we need an 18 playoff, and you do not believe that will tarnish the regular season.
No.
I'm slightly concerned that you're going to get teams in with two losses that are just not truly deserving. Like, who would get in? Michigan State this year, I don't think really deserves to be in a playoff.
Mississippi State, for sure.
I wish we could do a flex system where it goes from between 4 to 8, like this year it would be 6. The committee would say we have 6 teams in this year. So Florida State and Alabama are going to get a bye, and it's going to be like the AFC, you know?
Yeah.
And we're going to get Ohio State versus Baylor and TCU versus whoever else.
Or what we could do is actually make it two more teams of 6, and teams 1 and 2 play no one in the first round. They get a bye. 1 and 2 get a bye.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying for this year. If it were 6 teams, just as if it were one division of the NFL.
They should do that every year. That'd be perfect.
So that would be good. But I would like to see it flex from anywhere from 2 teams. Like if there's 2 undefeated teams and they're clearly better than the rest, just have them play on New Year's Day and that's it. Or on the 8th or whenever. If there's 4 teams that stand out, do a 4-team playoff. I know you can't do this for logistical reasons, but it'd be cool if the playoff committee, in addition to selecting who's in, could actually determine how many teams get in.
For sure.
Then the first round could just be a home field game to sell tickets.
Yeah, no doubt.
Bama could host that first game, and then the last game would be at a neutral site. That's my idea that could never happen. So anyway, I picked TCU in this game. I'm a little torn because they have the potential for a big letdown, not having missed out on the playoff and being in the Peach Bowl instead, which is, even though it's a New Year's 6, it's not a traditional powerhouse bowl, or it hasn't been for a long time. There's potential for a letdown, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that TCU comes to play.
I'm going to say the opposite. Just because they have a young quarterback, I see normally when teams flop in bowls because of motivation, they have quarterbacks who are not seniors that don't, so they have another year to prove themselves at least. Ole Miss is super talented, as you saw late in the year beating Mississippi State. I like the SEC in 3.5, so I'm going to take Ole Miss.
All right, we'll see what happens in that one. This is going to be the most interesting thing for everyone, I think, is to see how TCU, Baylor, and Ohio State perform. Given what happened, TCU and Baylor, you would think, are going to want to come out strong and dominate opponents. Maybe, or maybe they're just not going to care. And then Ohio State, I think, is going to have to play tough in order to justify their position in the playoff.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, we've got the Vizio Fiesta Bowl. No more Tostitos, Dan. I'm not going to know what to eat during this game. I'm going to just cover my cell phone in nacho cheese and eat it.
That's what...
I don't know how to live without Tostitos. I wonder what happened behind the scenes. I think I'm more interested in that than any of the games.
We have many tortilla chip options out here. I will confirm. Our grocery store, you will not believe the options you have.
Is Tostitos losing their stranglehold on the American public?
There's no one out here eats Tostitos. There's no one who actually buys them because there's 8 billion other brands that are way better.
Really? I think that's breaking news. Tostitos is like the lame chip out there.
Oh.
In the home of the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, Dan, you were saying that people are going rogue.
If you live in Phoenix, why would you ever eat Tostitos or go to Taco Bell? There's no point. You know, there's 8 million taquerias in this valley.
Strong words, Dan.
Yeah.
So true. Tostitos is just, it's not good. It's just what you're peddling to the rest of us.
Overrated Southern corporate, people. Overrated fake nationwide chip. No good.
So they're like the Maroon 5 of chips. They get all the exposure on the radio, but those of us who know music can find a million things better.
I like that comparison.
All right. So from now on, Tostitos presents Maroon 5. And sure. Vizio presents the Fiesta Bowl. Boise State versus Arizona. I got Arizona. You beg to differ.
Correct.
Sorry, let me go with my explanation. Boise State is not on the same level as these other teams in the New Year's Six game. They're not good for Boise State, although they're still okay. I don't believe that they belong in this type of a bowl game. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying they're, based on what they accomplished this year, I don't believe that any non-Power 5 team should have been in the New Year's Six or playoff.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard to say. It's weird because Arizona has to play kind of like a home game, but I don't know if they really care about this game after losing to Oregon. They have a really young team. Boise State will be sneaky. They've played here many times before. I would like Arizona on the money line, but I have Boise State with the points and 3.5.
Okay. I would, if Boise State could provide a game akin to their last Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma, not their last Fiesta Bowl, but the infamous game against Oklahoma, then I will support them for the rest of my life. Because that was the greatest game of any sport I've ever seen in my life. And if they could give us another thriller like that, then I'll never doubt them again.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm picking Arizona. I'll lay the 3.5. Moving along, still Wednesday, December 31st. This game's at 8 p.m. Got some good games on the 31st. The Capital One Orange Bowl. Mississippi State versus Georgia Tech. Two teams that had really good seasons, somehow ended with a couple or a few losses and didn't really make a strong enough push for the playoff at the end, but solid New Year's Six teams.
Yeah.
I like this matchup a lot. I think it's going to be closer than people expect. I've got Mississippi State for the win, but I do like Georgia Tech. I do like their style of play. I think they played a nice game against Florida State. They've been strong all season, and they just have a way of scoring, and it doesn't make sense because it would seem like you know what they're going to do. You know they're going to run with the fullback and then try to run it outside, and yet it just keeps working over and over and over.
Right. This is a hard one for me. I took Mississippi State, and I don't love it, so pretty much a stay away for me.
All right. The Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. This is New Year's Day now, 12:30. Michigan State versus Art Briles, your favorite coach, and the Baylor Bears.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Redemption from last year's mail-in job out here in the Fiesta Bowl against Central Florida. It's a low line. It's only a field goal. Michigan State's overrated. They're not that good. And key spots they've got exposed this year against Ohio State and Oregon. This will be another exposure. Look for Baylor to pull out all the stops. Bryce Petty is a senior. Guys showing off the NFL all over the place. Absolute woodshed. At my number one confidence of any bowl is this one. Baylor minus three is a stone lock.
I like Baylor a lot in this game. I really loved when Art Briles got fired up. Some people said it was disrespectful when they didn't make the playoff and he was kind of talking shit, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love to see his passion, how he's fired up. Last year they came out flat. I think they were gunning for a little bit higher than the Fiesta Bowl last year, and they fell short, and they were disappointed to be there. This year they were gunning for the playoff, and they fell short, and I think they're going to learn from last year and have the opposite reaction, as you said, and come out strong. Bryce Petty, with the Lord on his side, is not going to allow this team to lapse. I expect big things from them. I think Michigan State's an okay team. They're not a playoff caliber team, and Baylor is a playoff caliber team. So you have to. If you're Baylor, if you're TCU, you have no choice but to come out and dominate.
And also, we forgot to mention, it's the Cotton Bowl. It's in Texas. I mean,
that too.
Jesus. Everything points to a Baylor woodshed. I'm going to put a large bet on that. If that doesn't come in, I'm going to be an upset man watching those two late games, but I really think it's coming in.
So we've got an over-under of 72. Michigan State scores a little more than people expect. What do you think?
No, I think that's too high. I think Auburn, in the past, looks like they gave up too many points to Florida State. Not Auburn. Art Briles, Baylor. They don't have a great defense, but still, that's too many points. I think Baylor is going to win like 49 to 17. Just not enough.
Okay. Are there any over-under bets you like in the New Year's Six games?
I really haven't looked at over-unders yet.
All right, we got TCU Ole Miss at 57. We got Boise, Arizona at 68.5.
That's maybe a little high.
We got Mississippi State, Georgia Tech at 61.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I think I'd go over on that, but only by a couple points.
Right.
Baylor, we got at 72.
Probably a little high.
Oregon, 72.
That's probably right on.
And then Bama, Ohio State at 58.5.
That should go over for sure.
Okay. Well, Dan, if you have nothing else to add, let's get right to it.
Let's do it. Playoff time. First time ever.
College football playoff.
This is licensed Gatorade. Here we go.
This is exciting, right? I mean, this is definitely better, even though it's great. Even though it's a clusterfuck, a very difficult first year for the playoff. It is kind of unfortunate that this playoff system would have been great any year, any other year, but they sort of picked the worst year to start it.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think the BCS would have been less controversial this year, because it would have been undefeated Florida State versus one-loss SEC champ Alabama. The other one-loss teams can't really say shit because it's the SEC versus a different conference.
Yes.
So I think that would have been less controversial. I'm still glad we have the playoff. It's real exciting. The only thing I don't like about it is the timing. We've got these two games on January 1st, and then the championship is Monday, January 12th. I think that's – I don't get it. Why not just play the next week?
I know. I don't like it either.
I think it's an NFL-ification of college football, which I don't like. 2 weeks off before their version of the Super Bowl.
NFL-ification. I like that.
So I don't like that, but otherwise I love it. The Rose Bowl, presented by Northwestern Mutual. Thursday, January 1st, 5 p.m. in Pasadena, Oregon. A -9 favorite over undefeated, is it 28 game? Streak winning Florida State, defending national champ, 30 games in a row. I hate this line. I really hate it. I don't know why it's set at 9. I don't know why the defending national champs, who haven't lost a game in 3 years, get no respect. I'm taking Florida State and the points for sure.
I love Florida State. They are my number two favorite pick. Oregon looks sick. I know it's on the West Coast, but how can you make Florida State that big of an underdog if they haven't lost? I mean, sure, they might lose this game even by a touchdown, but they're not getting blown out. Love Florida State. I'll be making a large bet. January 1st is the best day of college football I may have ever seen. These four games I'm so excited for.
It's incredible. I have, so in my pick'em pool, I pick Florida State to win and advance to the national championship game. I feel the way that you feel. They've won. They've won in shaky fashion, but they keep on winning. Georgia Tech's a good team that they beat. Florida is not a great team, but it's a rival. They beat them. Who did they beat before that that was another good team? Oh, Miami. Miami gave them a run. Louisville gave them a run. Notre Dame gave them a run. It's not a coincidence that they keep winning and they keep winning. Now, Oregon has the talent to beat them, and they have probably maybe the only other quarterback who's on the level or better than Jameis Winston.
Yes.
So Oregon could certainly win this game, but by 10 points, I don't see that happening.
No. That's too many points. This is going to be a close game late, like a 41-38, 38-35 type game, 35-31. Can't wait to watch it. I'll be cooking out on the grill in the sunlight. Can't wait.
My prediction for this game is similar to the last national championship game, where it's tight back and forth. Maybe Oregon takes a lead, and then Jameis Winston gets another one of his miracle plays and gives Florida State the late, very close win. Florida State by 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 36-34.
Something like that sounds about right.
Is that over under? No, that would be under, so... That would be pretty close. So you do not want to bet the over-under in this game.
Very hard.
Okay. Any thoughts on Mariota and the Heisman? Seems like a pretty clear pick to me.
Slam dunk.
If Jameis Winston didn't have all the off-field things, do you think he would have been in consideration for the Heisman?
Of course.
Do you think would you have made the case that he deserved it over Mariota?
Yes, but... they would have not gave it to him this year because his numbers weren't as good as last year.
Okay.
But for
because of character issues, he never was in it. So it always cracked me up when people said, when people posted odds of him winning or talked about his prospects, the odds of him winning this year were 0-0.
I know.
It was just, he was never in the conversation. It was never going to happen.
You'll see how like underrated he is next year when Florida State loses a bunch of games without him and they are playing in the Tax Slayer Bowl or whatever it is.
Dude, this Florida State team with EJ Manuel, in a good college quarterback, but not Jameis Winston, they're 9-3 playing in the Outback Bowl.
They are, I know. It's bad.
So that's it. Moving along, we got a potential top 10 quarterback picks in this game.
It's going to be amazing. Or Rose Bowl, beautiful sunny day. Can't wait.
Two great teams, two of the best four teams in college football, the two best quarterbacks. This is a good one. I can't wait.
Sit in front of the TV and enjoy it.
And then we've got a game which is just, if you're a college football fan, an old school one, if you like the tradition and the pageantry of college football, this is pretty much as good as it ever is going to get. Alabama versus Ohio State, the All-State Sugar Bowl, January 1st, 8:30 p.m. We've got Alabama -9, over-under 58.5.
This one's hard for me because Alabama should blow them out, but I feel like there's going to be some shady calls. But I still lean Alabama to woodshed Ohio State. Not woodshed, but beat them by a good 20 to 17 points, something in there.
I'm very torn on this one. I think it's going to go one of two ways, either Alabama does what you say, you know, wears Ohio State down as they do with other teams, and then wins by 17 to 20, sort of like they did with Missouri. Or Ohio State, after all the criticism they've heard about getting into the playoff over Baylor and TCU, You know how athletes are. The slightest criticism can be turned into many, many points on the field.
Oh, yeah.
This is how I actually think it's going to go, is that Ohio State's going to play them very, very tough. And we're going to walk away saying, okay, I guess Ohio State, even though Alabama won this game, I guess Ohio State really did deserve to be in this playoff.
Yeah, I know. There's going to be some shady crap to keep it close.
And let me say, I personally thought that Baylor deserved to be in the playoff just based on their full season resume over Ohio State. But that's not to say Ohio State's not a really talented team. And Cardale Jones, it's his second game, but this guy's a 4 or 5 star recruit. He's been there for 3 years. He's intelligent. He's giant. He's tough to tackle. It's not like they're just playing with some bum off the street. So
it's still Nick Saban waiting 5 weeks to you know, to play somebody. That's a long time for Nick Saban to look at film. So Ohio State has their hands full for sure.
Right. So Alabama's my pick. The first rule of this podcast for the 3 years or however long we've been doing it is you do not bet against Alabama. Number one rule, you bet on Alabama or you don't bet. And so for me, this is going to be the latter. Don't bet.
I agree.
But Alabama's my pick. So you want to come back in a week or so with a national championship podcast?
Yeah, like in between January 1st and January 12th, we'll do one short half hour. We'll talk about a recap of what we saw and break down the national title game.
Okay. For our listeners, this is how we figure out this podcast.
On the fly.
Yeah. There's no preparation whatsoever.
Not needed.
Even though I got this printed out sheet here. This is the most I've ever done.
2001 printer in the house. Hashtag.
All right, Dan, any other thoughts?
No, apparently.
Dot matrix printer. Printing out shit.
I'm good. Have a great holiday season, everyone. Stay safe on the roads. Be careful in the Northeast. And we'll see you in 2015.
Yeah. Thanks again for listening. TakeThePoints.net. Hit us up on LinkedIn, as usual.
LinkedIn is the preferred method to get a hold of us. If you want to get an instant feedback, find me on LinkedIn.
I've been on LinkedIn, and I've been meeting a lot of cool professionals lately.
I just got a job offer for an assistant manager job at an Arby's in North Dakota, and that is from LinkedIn.
Dan, actually, I'm not joking. I did get they wanted me to come into an interview for coding a computer language that I don't know and have never done in Danbury, 2 hours from where I live.
Perfect.
Thank you for this unsolicited offer of a 2 hour commute to code in a language I don't know. But I think I'm going to respectfully decline.
That is an offer you can't pass up. I would look into that.
All right. So on a serious note, Dan and I are both on Twitter and we use it pretty frequently, or at least if someone writes to us, we'll respond. So
absolutely.
If you want, things change very rapidly in terms of betting. Lines change, players get injured, coaches leave. So
yep. if you
need betting advice, Dan is DPartridge10. On Twitter, is that correct?
Twitter, yeah. Anytime, just shoot me a line. I'll definitely write back.
All right, and I'm the fake Tom Z. Although I'm not as up on the gambling trends as Dan is, so he's the one for advice.
I'm pretty much on it all the time.
All right, so thank you for listening. We will be back in a week or two, sometime before the national championship game, with a short championship game preview and season wrap up. And until then, see you later.
Adios. Take the point.